like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Hey folks, just a little bit of housekeeping before you listen to this episode. This may not be the interview you expected to come out right now. There was another one that was recorded before it, but because of the time sensitivity of the upcoming Music Cocoon show, which this episode is all about, it made sense to release this one now. And so it's jumping the queue. It happens every once in a while. I don't always release these episodes in the exact order they were recorded, but there's a lot of good stuff coming up, so stay tuned. I also wanted to just give a big shout out to the latest supporter on Patreon, Chris. And you can be like Chris. You can go to patreon.com/witchpolice and you can get access to a shit ton of bonus content, of advanced looks at interviews, of all kinds of fun stuff. And, you know, for as little as a dollar a month, you can support the show, help keep the lights on over at Witch Police Radio. I've been doing this for 13 years and more than 1,000 episodes now. And, you know, it's a labor of love. I don't get paid for it. I don't have a lot of sponsorship, anything like that. But people who support the show on Patreon keep it going. They help out. They basically throw some change into the guitar case that is the podcast. And I really appreciate all of you. So thanks to Chris, who's the latest supporter on Patreon. And thanks to everyone who's listened to a show, donated money, been to a live event, or just otherwise told people to check out Witch Police Radio. Always very, very appreciated. Hope you enjoy the episode. All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. Usually, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know that we're typically talking to bands and artists about upcoming albums and singles and shows and things like that. But this episode, we're focusing on an event that is coming up, if you're listening at the time this comes out, in the very near future. And I think the best way to start this off is if my two guests want to introduce themselves and give a bit of background about what this event is that we're talking about, and then we can kind of get into the nuts and bolts of what's going on and why people should care. So whoever wants to go first, introduce yourself, and we'll take it from there.
So my name is Amber Neufeld. I am a queer Mennonite here in Treaty 1, Winnipeg territory. I am a social service worker by day, but I'm also getting into learning live sound, learning all of those kinds of like nitty gritty tech parts of how to run a show. So yeah, I'm really grateful to be a part of Good and Plenty, because it's really been a great part of pushing me to learn those things.
Awesome.
My name is Makai Hildebrand, and I am a queer musician and artist here in Winnipeg as well. And I'm also a member of Good and Plenty. We tag team a lot of the events together. So I run some of the one day choirs and queer line dancing. Things like that. And then also help out, you know, behind the scenes with other events going on, like the one we're going to talk about tonight. So yeah, I'm a musician here, I guess, and also a music teacher. I just kind of switched to being a self-employed musician. So I'm scared, but we're getting by. It's going okay so far.
Right on. And I know we're here to talk about a specific event, but you know, you both mentioned Good and Plenty. I think a lot of people in Winnipeg increasingly are becoming aware of what that is and what the organization does and all these various people who are involved. But can you give a quick sort of synopsis of what Good and Plenty is and maybe why people may have heard of it before?
Yeah. So we are a provincially incorporated nonprofit here in Manitoba. We incorporated in 2022 with the sole purpose to just create more opportunities and connections and community for women, two-spirit, non-binary, and gender expansive individuals in the music scene and music production in particular, because those identities are so at the margins of music production and audio engineering. So we put on community networking events, producer showcases, learning workshops, studio sessions, basically just places where we can connect with one another, share resources, collaborate, and learn from each other in ways that feel safe and inclusive.
Cool. And it seems like the profile of Good and Plenty has grown considerably over the past few years. I remember hearing about it when it first started out. And at the time, I hadn't really, being a guy in the music scene, I hadn't really given much thought to the fact that, a lot of people are not represented as far as audio engineering and producing and a lot of those things. So it was very cool to see this sort of continuing to grow and more people getting involved.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. It's a shocking percentage, like 4% of producers are female female or non-binary.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to amplify that. I think Good and Plenty has two sort of like arms. It's like there's the Good and Plenty Producers Club, which does a lot of, like Amber's talking about, amplifying, those voices and giving, inclusivity in those spaces. And we also have the Good and Plenty Arts Collective, which is putting on other events too. So they both put on events, but they kind of just are tailored to different sides of Good and Plenty. So whether it's like the music cocoon we're going to talk about, or, the choir, where they're like literal big events you go to, or a workshop with the producers where you kind of dive a bit deeper, maybe learn something, that kind of thing. There's sort of something for everybody, which is a really cool part of it, I think. So
Definitely. And so, the main thing we're talking about here today is the Music Cocoon. And first of all, I love the name of it. It definitely is evocative, I think, of what you're trying to do with this event. But what is, can you give a quick Cole's Notes of what this event is? I have a lot of specific questions about it, but I really like the idea. And I think that it's probably easier for one of you to explain it rather than me trying to interpret what I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's really... What's so lovely about it is that it is a music experience it's really designed for caregivers and the people that they care for. So, one of the biggest things is that it's a matinee show.
Yeah.
It's going to already be appealing to, I think, the group of people who maybe can't go out at night, or it doesn't really feel them to go out at night with their families, but they'd like to go out and be a part of the live music scene and support local music. So, it's a matinee event, but it's also going to be designed for a lot of different sensory needs, and just it's an inclusive event for a lot of different sensory needs, and also just parts of the community that maybe aren't represented always in a live music space.
Yeah.
Like Amber can touch on the things I completely missed there, but
yeah totally. It's a matinee at the West End Cultural Center, November 16th. It's a Sunday. Doors open at 12:30. Music will start at 1:30, and we'll all be out of there for dinner. I like what Makai was saying. Like it's prioritizing creating inclusive spaces and accessibility, and ultimately that benefits everyone, not just the people that specifically need those things. People don't necessarily, if they don't like to go out at night or it's too late for them, like this is great for them. There's lower sound levels as well, so it's not going to be blaring. Softer lighting.
Yeah.
Coloring books and kind of kids areas and a little chill out zone where if you're getting overwhelmed, you can step out and go to that other atrium room in the West End Cultural Center.
I like the idea.
Yeah.
I like the idea on the posters too of it being a kids event, but it's not Baby Shark, right? I mean, it's for parents who, and not just parents, but people who are bringing their kids or bringing kids that they are, that want to hear actual good local music. Mm-hmm. It's not something kind of hokey that's aimed at kids. And I appreciate that because, I have kids. I appreciate the early start. One of my kids has sensory issues and some of the shows that I've taken my kids to have been problematic because it's too loud or there's vibrations or there's things that make it difficult to stick around. And so, I know there's a lot of other people who are in the same boat and they want to introduce things like the local music scene to their children or to friends or family members. And there often isn't an opportunity to do it. So I like that this has sort of been thought, with some of those people in mind as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember going to a concert a few months ago and a friend of mine tried to bring her, I think she's four, tried to bring her four-year-old. It wasn't a super late show. It was probably at 7 p.m. But yeah, it was just too dark, too loud. And she ended up leaving 5 minutes in. So it was kind of her daughter's first concert, but they didn't really get to enjoy it. So with this opportunity, I think we're creating that need for the community.
And I think also instead of, you know, it's amazing to be able to accommodate that, but also to and you be able to have that be, you know, a thing for people, like you said, who aren't able to go out at night. But also, you know, it is still not a, like you said, a super, you know, baby music. It's still going to be, it's Isla Barker. Isla Barker is an amazing local artist. It's also Two Crows for Comfort.
Yeah.
So like, you know, the parents can enjoy the music and be a part of that, which is really cool. And I think even, you know, a lot of, even shows that are tailored to kids and for families to come together. It's you don't always have the opportunity to have like an actual space you can go to leave for a bit.
Yeah,
chill
that's
out
true.
For a bit, right? What I love about the West End Cultural Center is that it's broken up in a way that we have all these different spaces we can utilize. And so if you want to literally stand at the front and be right there in it, of course you can, if that's how you want to enjoy it. But if you also want to be like way at the back, you know, with like a bit of bright lighting and, you know, coloring.
Yeah.
With maybe some headphones on, that's totally cool because it's going to be set up for that, which I think is kind of nice to have all the boxes ticked for folks.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it covers off a pretty wide range of people who maybe have reasons that the typical show hasn't worked for them in the past or they're concerned that it might not work. Were the artists, I mean, like you said, both of those are great local artists, and were they chosen specifically for this event? Like, what was the sort of theory behind who was going to play something like this?
Well, I know Isla Barker is actually an organizer with Good and Plenty. So we thought she would be a great addition. And like, I personally love Two Crows for Comfort.
Yeah, they're
and I
great.
Think
they're great.
They're, yeah. And they're both so like, they appeal to a broad spectrum of music lovers and are family friendly as well as, you know, just for anyone in the community.
Definitely.
There are also acts that I think, you know, we can adjust the volume slightly and we can tailor their show slightly. And it doesn't really impact like the integrity of what their show would have been anyways. Like, you know what I mean? It suits their music really well. And it kind of, it's a different side maybe of it, but it's going to be this very, I think, yeah, very cocoony, very sleepy approach to both of them, which is going to be really lovely. So,
yeah, it's a really cool idea. Is this based on anything that's been tried elsewhere? I know that a lot of organizations and events are doing, you know, there'll be things where there'll be like an hour early at some of these markets and things like that, where people can go if they have, you know, issues with crowds and noise and things like that. But have there been shows like this that this is sort of based on, or is this a new thing?
We actually had contact with an organization called Balancing Act Canada. And they're an initiative across Canada that aims to increase equality, accessibility, and opportunity for parents and caregivers who are also artists.
Okay.
We have thought this would be a great idea. You know, we have a lot of friends, including Lena Winterhalt, who is kind of our founder and organizer at Good and Plenty, who now has a family. So we're just kind of trying to find opportunities to create those spaces for now what our communities look like and what our families look like now.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah. Is the hope that this will sort of turn into something that could happen more often? I mean, I know this is sort of like the first one, right? But, I mean, is that what you'd like to see, is more shows, whether it's Good and Plenty related or not, that have this kind of inclusivity?
Yeah, totally. And I think with Balancing Act's help, we hope to kind of create some momentum and create a series where we can do this kind of semi every couple of months. I would personally, I know for me, I, as someone who's like learning sound technician stuff, my big pet peeve is when things are way too loud, and especially like, you know, bass and drum, it kind of drowns out everything else that you're hearing in the music or that you want to hear in the music. So for me, I really appreciate something that is a little bit lower levels, where you can really pick out all the important things, like especially female vocals or higher vocals. I'm hoping to see it more in spaces.
Yeah, it's a cool idea for sure. And I do hope it goes well, because I mean, even before, you know, we started talking about doing this episode of the podcast, I'd seen a poster for it or something online. And it was like, yes, this is exactly something that should have been happening already. You know, I think there's definitely an audience for it. Do you have sort of a an idea of I guess maybe a better way of wording this is, what's the response been to the idea so far? I know the show hasn't happened yet, so people's reactions, you know, will depend on how it goes and everything. But have you had a positive reaction from people who, you know, this is maybe targeted at, or who fit sort of the demographic that would be interested in this?
Oh, yeah, oh, totally.
Yeah. Sorry, Amber, I cut you off. Yeah, definitely.
No, go.
Yeah, I think definitely I don't personally have kids, but a bunch of my close friends do. Or like, I also have a few doula friends as well who just were like, this is so great, because like, they want to go out and they want to take their kids out and they want to go do things, but it's really tricky to find that kind of stuff. And it's or tricky to find that it isn't like an ongoing series or something. That's what she was talking about too. Like, some of it exists, but it's like a program, or so it's just kind of cool to have it be a one of, or, you know, like a one day event like this. And like, to go off of like being it like an ongoing thing, I hope we can do like what I, as a neurospicy individual, what I love is that like, there's a chance to like listen to music, but if you want to like do something tactile, you can. So if you want to like color, or you want to like move around it, but not like just like dancing at the front, you know what I'm saying? Different ways to just like move your body, but feel comfortable and safe to do that.
Yeah.
I'd love to lean into that more too, because I think people would like to, a lot of people would love to come to concerts. I think they're just, they're literally concerned. They're like, oh, well, can I stim the way that I want? Can I actually go and be myself? And I would love to be able to create more live music spaces where you can go and be exactly that. And I think people would respond to that well too, you know, especially where they have kids or not, but especially with this one, I think people are excited to take their kids to something that has genuinely been designed. You can tell Lana has put a lot of thought into it as someone with a baby, because you can tell she's like, what would I need if I were to go to a concert right now, pack her up, what's it gonna look like?
Yeah.
And it feels like that, you know, it's very thought out. You can tell I didn't think of some of these details, but you could tell the mom did, so great.
For sure. Yeah. And I actually wish this, my kids are older now. My kids are 12 and 16. And I wish this had existed, you know, because I used to try to take them to shows all the time. And some shows worked, some shows didn't. And what you were just saying too about the, you know, it's not just dancing at the front. I've definitely been to shows that are kid friendly, and you have a group of a bunch of kids at the front, but then you have some other kids who are kind of hanging back and they look uncomfortable and they're not really sure what to do. And I think that maybe that is sort of what's going on with some of them, is they need a space where it's okay to be different, to be, you know, reacting to the music in the way that suits them, in the way that suits sort of their needs.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, because I think, you know, like, that is definitely why we lead into having Isla Barker to Coach for Comfort, because, you know, of course you can bring babies, that's totally designed for that, but you can also, it's literally an all ages show, right? So if you do want to bring your teens, if that is the age group, it's really for everybody. It's not going to feel like you're taking them to, you know, Chuck E. Cheese. Why did I use that example? I don't even have those in Canada.
I don't think we have them anymore. No, it's been a while. Yeah.
I don't think they even exist. I watched a John Oliver episode about how they sold off all the characters. So I don't think, anyway, sorry, North Spicy. But you can bring really anybody, which I think is really cool. It's for the whole, I'll say for the whole family, but can also just be just if you are looking, just you, if you're an adult, you're looking for something a bit more chill, more of an afternoon thing, then absolutely you're more than welcome. It's not like it's just a kid's concert. That's probably an important thing to mention.
Yeah, and I feel like we Winnipeg is kind of missing, I mean, I know there still are all ages shows, but there was definitely an era in the city where all ages shows was a huge thing, and I think we've kind of strayed from that a bit, where the focus now for a lot of people is just on bar shows and 18 plus shows and shows starting after 10 p.m. And I mean, I remember, you know, being in junior high in like 94 or so and going to all ages shows, and a lot of them were in the afternoon, and they were even at bars sometimes, and they would, you know, and I feel like a lot of kids now don't necessarily have those options that, and the West End Cultural Center was a great venue for that. There was all ages shows all the time there. And so I know this is a bit of a different format, but it's nice to see that coming back. Either that, or I'm just totally old and out of the loop and it's all happening below the radar. But I like to think that I'm somewhat in the loop, but yeah. That was really a question, but more of an observation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I think definitely more all ages shows is wonderful. And I think we are seeing more of that, but I hope that events like this signal that, like, yeah, there's a need for it. And hopefully we'll see what the feedback is and see what people think about it. But I hope that we can actually create this space that people can really come and really feel held in it.
You're
saying cocoons. I really hope you really feel like you can just breathe and just relax in that kind of space. Really different than going to like a crazy loud concert where you're like, where's my coat and where are the things? And that's just hopefully going to feel much more relaxed.
Yeah. And even adults, I mean, need that sometimes too. I've been to, you know, shows recently where I was overwhelmed by just the loudness, and I was kind of had to stand at the back away from everyone just to, you know, sort of catch my breath just from being in this packed venue like that. So yeah, it definitely is a nice vibe. If people are listening to this at the time this comes out, obviously the show is imminent. They might hear it after the fact, and maybe by then you'll have arranged more shows like this. But for those who are listening at the time, how do they find out more information about this? How do they get tickets? How do they do all that?
Yeah, you can go to our website, Good and Plenty, all spelled out. Wait, let me make sure that I have it right.
And I can link to it in the show notes too, so people listening can go back and then look at the thing they just read when they clicked on this and then click there too, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Perfect. Yes, it's Good and Plenty, all spelled out, .org, okay. O-R-G.
And what are the details of the show again? I know you mentioned them earlier near the top of the show, but yeah, when is it happening? What's the time? All that stuff.
Yeah, it's happening Sunday, November 16th with Isla Barker and Two Crows for Comfort. Doors open at 12:30 and the show is at 1:30 at the West End Cultural Center.
Actually, yeah, you can also get, if you would rather go to the West End Cultural Center on their website, they have tickets on there too. And if you're an Instagrammer, you can also go to just the Good and Plenty Instagram and then it'll link it right there too. Yeah, and we're going to have posters around so you can scan it on there too.
All the ways people find it with shows now. Yeah. I know you mentioned, you know, just a few seconds ago about the Good and Plenty website. Is Good and Plenty... I mean, obviously, like I mentioned earlier too, it seems like it's getting higher profile. I'm certainly seeing the logo and the name out there more, which is great. But is it a group that is looking for more people to get involved? Like, are there always events like this happening, or initiatives like this that people can, you know, look into if they fit sort of the criteria of what Good and Plenty is looking to foster?
Yeah. On the producer side, we have an open studio day down in the Exchange where we're using Lena Winterhalt and Cece Lopez's studio. And we're going to do kind of a gender diverse jam session with Veronica Blackhawk, who's also the lead of Tinge, the band.
It's a great band, yeah.
So yeah, we're doing that November 30th, which is just a few Sundays after the Music Cocoon. And I know Makai's got some stuff going on the Arts
Group Cooking side. Yeah. And then on Arts Collective side, our next choir is November 12th. It's actually our one-year choirversary.
Oh, cool.
So that's awesome. So we're going to be doing Good Luck, Babe by Chapel Rome. That's at the Handsome Daughter. And then way later on, we have our next queer line dancing. That's at the Handsome Daughter. That's part of their 12 Days of Christmas. That's on December 28th. But I feel ill talking about Christmas right now, so we'll pretend.
I heard Christmas carols at a store today, and I was really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But line dancing, that sounds fun. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Right on.